Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, big town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. Monday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Guess we don't have to talk about the NBA anymore, huh? We don't have to talk about the Rockets anymore. I feel like that What Up H-Town was a little gleeful, almost.
A little gleeful?
Yeah, like there was joy in it. It was like, did you detect a little bit of joy?
Yeah.
In that What Up H-Town?
It didn't really fit the tone, I think, of the city.
Like today's kind of a somber day, sad.
Are there
losing
days
game
that
seven.
We should maybe skip that to reflect the mood of the
skip
city?
Skip it, no. But maybe accurately.
What Up H-Town? Hey,
describe
how we doing?
The mood of the city. Like, hey, what up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing? Not great. There was more joy, I feel like, than our listeners currently have. Are you happy the Rockets lost yesterday, Blankers?
No, not at all. I mean,
you do hate them.
According to some, no. Others have tried to establish on this show. No, there was no joy in Mudville. I get it. I just normally do it the same way every time, unless there's like an absolute catastrophe. I don't rule that a catastrophe. So it is what it is.
So yesterday was not a catastrophe, according to you.
No, it was bad, but it wasn't a catastrophe. I mean, I don't think that it was a complete embarrassment. Or I think there's a lot of good things you build on with this franchise, this roster, and this rotation. I think there's obviously some shortcomings that they have to address.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there was I think it was a good year, which is probably not something that people want to hear today, because you lost in seven. You lost to the hated Warriors, and no one really cares about that today. That's something that you talk about, like, going forward and all that. I do think that there's some positivity that came from that. I think there's a lot of positivity that came from that series, and I think there's a ton of positivity to come from that city. But was yesterday a catastrophe? 713-780 ESPN. HRMP listener line. It's about to pour, by the way. It's about to rain very hard.
The temperature all of a sudden dropped about 10 degrees. The wind picked up when I was walking out of my car, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we're about to just absolutely get pounded with rain.
I hope the generator's fueled up there, Brian. Did you double-check that before
you
started the show?
But if they go out, hammered. Then we get to talk Rockets less, so I think that's not a bad thing.
Remember the other, remember when Derecho came through here?
I was on the, because we had a remote that
day. Jeez, Brian, way to make it all about you.
I will make it about me, because I
was asking Blankers if he remembered, and you just jump right on in there.
I thought we had a remote that day.
We did.
And so I was headed home, and I was caught, I don't remember exactly, it was on I-10, I don't remember the exact area I was. I found out later from a wind map that the area I was in hit 120 miles per hour.
You look at a lot of wind maps?
I did that day, or in the aftermath. I've never been more sure I was going to die than in that moment. Yeah, and it was the scariest thing I've ever been.
You've been more sure of being right when you were wrong a lot.
I tried to call my wife in that moment because it was that insane.
I was stuck on like 6:10:45, right around there. I thought I was going to die too. Like the wind was like kind of like lifting my vehicle
Which one was this?
It was the derecho that came through here. Did you make it home yet before derecho came through? Because we were out in Katy. We were out in Katy for a remote.
We were at the decoy, I think, right?
Yes, we were. We were at the decoy. So I live up like in Spring Woodlands.
Right.
I went 6:10:45, and like it came in like right as I was going 6:10:245, the interchange.
I remember you guys telling me and I took the beltway all the way around to 59. And I remember it was a long, long time to get home. But it never got to the point where I thought that we were going to tip. I was going to tip over.
I was more scared of like debris like crashing onto me than I was like tipping my truck. But that was a pretty terrifying drive home. Hopefully today's nothing like that. Hopefully it's just a quick moving storm and it's not a very derecho like thing. I drove home through a storm that storm that came in Friday. I was doing the baseball game, of course, and it started at 4, and it got suspended in the 7th, and I had to drive home in it, and that was a pretty gnarly storm,
it
too.
When it hit Sugar Land, it was coming down really, really hard.
Pretty gnarly.
But I'm trying to remember the last storm that I had to drive. The last one, the big flood storm, I got caught in the Galleria area.
Oof.
Yeah, and then was trying, and I lived in Midtown at the time, and I was trying to take I-10 home. And that's when they stopped traffic completely from going down near right by the Washington exit because it was like a soup bowl. And then they literally knocked down the HOV wall and had cars turn around and go the wrong way back towards 610 because it was literally cars were just all floating into a soup bowl of just the highway.
I did that before. I went the wrong way on a highway once during like a flood to get home. But you got to do what you got to do whenever the crisis is here. We've gotten 7 minutes into the show. And we haven't mentioned Cinco de Mayo, which the show tweet, Brian, was not lost on me that you didn't give any Cinco de Mayo reference on the show tweet today. Killer Bee started 5, Rocket sad face emoji. Is there any defense of Jalen Green? Question mark. Astros bad weekend, angry emoji that's red. LMJ, though, .. Movie reviews, which now we get to that today.
Probably not.
And Mailbag Monday was the show preview. You didn't mention Cinco de Mayo. And in fact, you put two white guys in the GIF that you use that were giving each other a high five. This is a racist tweet. Today is our day. And you're sending out a pair of gringos and no Cinco de Mayo reference in the show tweet.
Did that help?
And I'm Mexica.
No, it's very disrespectful.
I mean, Canelo won over the weekend.
You're not really putting the station's reputation. You're not making it look any better by doing this. I want you to know. I'm going to have a drink of tequila tonight.
I mean, you were going to have a drink of tequila anyway, right? No, you're more of a bourbon guy.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a new tequila sponsor, though, for our podcast. Blue Star Tequila. So I'm going to have a little Blue Star Tequila, maybe a little bit of lime, maybe some salt on the rim. You know,
Joe passed me a bottle last week. I wasn't disappointed by that.
Yeah, get me some Blue Star. We're trying to milk the clock here and not talk about the Rockets game 7 yesterday. We've made it 8 minutes into the 3 hour. I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's having good nature humor.
It's raining outside like it was raining Buddy Hield three-pointers last night, am I right?
Which, I mean, I did want to lead with this, but you saw Buddy Hield shot 81% from three yesterday. High-volume three-point game. That is an elite three-point shooting night. Just saying.
And the last one got him the 9 that he needed, too. The last one that was completely unnecessary with 30-some seconds to go. But you know that he had it in the – someone planted the seed that he needed 9.
So whenever like, oh, Branham, you're an idiot. You can't have a plus 75% shooting night be called elite. Your standards are way too high. Are they? Are my standards too high? Or was that the most elite shooting game of the series? 9 for 11, 81%. So I'm going to retract that take from Bad Take Boulevard. I want the record to show
that. You're taking back your apology for being called out as being wrong on that?
No, I won't. I won't take back my apology, but I would like the record to show that I apologize for being wrong because I overdo it. I apologize whenever I shouldn't even be sorry. I admit I'm wrong when I shouldn't even admit that I'm wrong. But I do want to retract that from Bad Take Boulevard because clearly I was on the right side of history there. Thank you to Buddy Hield and his giant teeth.
At the time of release, though, it had not happened.
It had happened before. It's just very rare.
Right. I mean, but I thought you were talking about just because of the recent history of what happened after you made the statement.
What do you mean?
That 81% I don't think had been reached before.
I think it had. I think it was only been done
like
2 or 3
times. 78% was the highest.
I started to tune out because I was taking my beating like a man on that one. So here's another way to not talk Rockets for a couple of minutes. It's not good news, though.
Okay.
It's not good. Do you want to hit the sounder, Brian?
We got breaking news?
Yeah, breaking news coming from Astros camp. Sounder's not ready.
Yeah, I got to find it. I can't find it all of a sudden.
Got a case of the Mondays, that Brian. He's not ready. He's not prepared. He's still recovering from his weekend and that Blue Star tequila. You do the sounder.
Which one do we use?
The breaking news.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, it's good for me. Yordan Alvarez is going on the IL with right hand inflammation. So that Cesar Salazar news that we were talking about before the show, and you're like, I wonder if it's Yordan. Bingo, you were right. Mm-hmm. It is Yordan. Yordan's landing on the IL, which... That's fine. Like I like to err on the side of placing players on the IL. That way you can give them like, they're not rushing back. They're not trying to get in the lineup. They don't feel bad. Just give them the 10 days. Give them the 10 days to try to get right, to get the hand right. Also mentally, like he's been in a slump. Like there's no reason that he's like hitting the ball so hard that, if you can save 3 days out of the 10 days on the IL, it's worth not putting him on there. Like he could probably use the 10-day reset. for the just like being in a slump alone even before the hand. So I think it's the right move. Now, it is curious because we heard over the weekend that the Astros weren't going to have any imaging on the hand. Why not? Yeah. Why wouldn't you have any imaging on the hand just for peace of mind? And it's also the curious case of Yordan Alvarez that the guy gets a lot of boo-boos that's never really serious. So either one of two things is the case with Yordan Alvarez. Either he is soft as puppy do in the rain, or he's got a really bad body. And maybe it's both.
I mean, isn't it also the thing that you missed from all of that was correct is the fact that it's also the Astros, which means that when you say it's nothing and doesn't need imaging, that means it's probably something a lot more than nothing because they can't do anything right when it comes to medical announcements, releases, and maybe even the treatment itself, for all we know, for all the ways they've screwed up injuries. But it just, it's we chuckle at it now because it really is so preposterous that we're told that he's going to be fine and we don't even need imaging. And now here he is headed to the injured list. It's a joke.
Yeah.
Didn't we do this with someone else last year where they told us imaging wasn't necessary and
it
turned
it
out
Kyle Tucker?
Was it Tucker?
I think that they might have done the imaging with Tucker though. I don't think they ever said we're not doing imaging with Tucker. I think Brian's talking about another scenario. Obviously the way they handled Tucker was I'm not arguing that the way they handled Tucker
was
right.
Because I think you're right. I'm trying to remember who else was one of those where they were out for at least a decent amount of time. When we thought that they were,
there was somebody. I think it was Fromber
with the ankle.
Yes, it was because
when he slipped down the dugout stairs,
and like he doesn't need imaging. It's like why not? Like why not just like send him to an X-ray? Is he scared of the machine?
And
like,
he missed the start, right?
He did miss the start.
Yep. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, which that one they probably knew is like a minor ankle sprain. So you like you know that one kind of makes a little bit of sense. Like I don't go get an X-ray every time I minorly sprain my ankle, but I also don't have them like in the clubhouse. You know, like I'm being a little egregious in the clubhouse, but I bet you they have an X-ray machine at Minute Maid.
Down the hall,
hall, the X-ray room. So, why not? Like, why not? It's not an extra expense. Maybe you have to pay the guy that's operating the machine an extra $25. Like, so what? Like, go get an X-ray, dude.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing that we do have to also throw the caveat to be a little extra concerned is he's on the IL. How long he stays on the IL, where a bone bruise can turn into 3 months, is anybody's guess.
No doubt. Like if. I'm talking like holistically, not from the Astro sense. Like if I have a guy early in the year that's struggling and he's got like a sore or anything, like I'm placing him on the 10-day IL period, before I even bat an eye for two reasons. One, I don't want him to like feel that he needs to be in the lineup so he comes back too early. Secondly, the mental reset for a slumping hitter is worth it. Like it's worth it. So
I
was clamoring for them to do that over the weekend. People thought I was nuts over the weekend. Well, what do you mean? You can get 8 days of Yordan. It's okay. It's going to be all right. He can use a week and a half off.
My major focus is just on the fact that the way the Astros handle things and the way it actually plays out after they tell you not to worry is a reason why you always have to worry. You have to absolutely be completely pessimistic every time the Astros make any announcement because little things become big things all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like the secondary part. Like mine's like more holistic. Yours is from an astroscope, and you're 100% right.
Especially with Yordan's hands, because it wasn't that long ago when Yordan's hand was injured and Dusty didn't know which one it was. Right?
Why does this happen, by the way? Like, let's talk about the science of a sore hand. Why? Like, what's happening here? Like, is it overused? Is it just getting sore because of the overusage of it? Why does he have a sore hand that doesn't need to be surgically repaired? Like, is it carpal tunnel? Like, what is, like, can we get a real answer here? And not that they owe it to us. Like, I don't need the whole, well, the Astros owe us news. I get that they don't. I'm just talking, like, generally speaking, I really wonder what is wrong with his hand. Because this is chronic. It's a chronic hand injury.
The only, and again, I'm going to speculate and just throw out a possibility. But the only thing that will debunk this is the fact that Yordan doesn't seem like he works at his craft a whole hell of a lot or wants to put extra work in. But a lot of guys that are, like, insanely focused, like Bregman used to be. Like, he's constantly in the cages, like, after games, before games, on off days, and the entire off season, they're constantly tinkering with their swing and in the cages and swinging over and over again. That's how I could see through repetition of that degree things happening to your hands, your wrist, you know. Because otherwise, it's like, what are you taking, Tybo in the meantime and hitting punching bags and – how the hell is your hands taking hits otherwise?
Maybe he travels his gaming device on the road and is like that.
Yeah, maybe.
I actually had that thought in the shower today about his work ethic.
You're thinking about Yordan in the shower?
Yeah, I was going to say, and your wrist cutter? I mean, I just...
No, what? How did that come into play?
Because it's hands and wrists.
Not mine.
I didn't say yours, but I mean, but
I think you said your wrist.
And your wrists come into play. Like, his wrists are on your mind when you're in the shower.
For some reason, I saw a tweet and I was thinking about his injury. And I started to think about his work ethic. And I'm like, I wonder what his work ethic is really like.
Are you on your phone in the shower?
No. But I read it right before I go in.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I think I was, meditating. And then I went to the shower after my meditation. And then, sometimes right. I'm looking at Twitter when I meditate. Here's the question that I asked myself to get completely off topic and, to stall the rocket talk here, milk the clock on it, take a knee. I think he's the most talented hitter in baseball. I think I mean that sincerely. I think Yordan Alvarez is the most talented hitter in baseball. I think that he does a lot of things that literally nobody else is capable of doing. I think his combination of, contact, his combination of power, his combination of zone, play discipline, swing decisions – whenever he's going right, I don't think there's anybody better in baseball, including Aaron Judge, including Shohei Ohtani. I don't think that they have Yordan Alvarez's skill. But why does Aaron Judge's production so much better than Yordan's? What is the uncommon denominator here?
Stays healthy.
I think it's health. Secondly, I think there is the work ethic question. I don't know Yordan's work ethic. I'm not around him. But he's more skilled than Judge, and Judge is way more productive than Yordan over the course of a regular season. Let's not have the playoff conversation here. And then I also think it's how serious he takes every single game and every single plate appearances. I don't think Aaron Judge has ever cheated out of a plate appearance. I think Yordan Alvarez goes weeks where he's kind of okay, I know I'm very skilled, I'll put up my numbers. And then whenever he dials it in is whenever he goes on his tears.
His body language, along with his track record, can give you basically no other means other than to assume that he just isn't a workaholic when it comes to the game. It just kind of all comes naturally to him, because even in spring training, it's I'll do what I got to do. And then even if he comes to a slow start, yeah, but when I feel like it, look out. And then he gets hot. And then, when he starts getting criticized a little bit, he picks it up. But with all the injuries that we've been through with him as well, it just seems like there's that kind of, okay, attitude until, and it's kind of like load management in the NBA or, teams that think we don't have to really ramp this thing up till we get to serious business late in the season and playoffs, that it's one of those situations where you can kind of see that he doesn't look like the kind of guy that is just a perfectionist in his craft.
I'm just throwing it out there. For clicks, mostly.
7137. The fireworks thing in Atlanta was the one
just
that really
took the crap out there to get clicks.
I mean, this is multiple occasions over the course. This is the, what was the, was it 2 years ago where he had the hand issue that landed him on the IL? It was the last year of Dusty.
22,
actually, it might have even been the second to last year of
Dusty. I think it was 22, World Series year.
Okay, so 2022. Now it's another hand issue that's landing him on the IL in 2025, right? So 22, 23, 24 years. So he's landed on the IL twice with a hand issue that does not require imaging.
Yeah, I mean,
what is going on?
And again, it's it's crazy. But again, this is what I was talking about when I was getting into all from the releases and the medicals and all the other things. The fact that we can, in every situation with every injury, going from a pillow to Tommy John with a crick in your neck, to the fact that with Yordan's injuries, we can constantly go back and forth and go, like Brian said, at one point, not only was imaging not necessary, between the manager and the player, we didn't know which hand, and then the player had to call an impromptu press conference to clarify which hand.
Yeah, the people want to talk about this, so we'll continue to put the pin in the Astros thing, but or the Rockets. We'll talk plenty of Rockets. We'll probably talk majority Rockets today. But the Hive has some thoughts on the Yordan Alvarez. Does Yordan Alvarez have a bad body, or is Yordan Alvarez soft, or is he both? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. 713-780-3776. We're on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on the Twitter at ESPN 97.5. I guess we're still on the Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man, Joel Bryan at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Collectively, we are the Bees. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
It's going to be a sad day, I think, on the show. It's gray in the air. feelings are gray. Rockets lose game 7, and then Yordan lands on the IL. Good news is the Texans played golf today. Cal McNair didn't say anything racist. I consider it a win.
Never quit.
These golf tournaments are usually where he goes and runs his mouth a little bit. Talks about
the warden Chinese right next to him, right? Snap on him if he did.
That's true.
He was waiting.
Or his little pit bull.
Yep.
We'll get to some of what Cal had to say. Talking about moving.
It's Big always Sarge, fun to win.
He posted Kaimi Fairbairn's golf swing on a drive, and I critiqued it on Twitter. And I'm an expert on driving because I did win a long drive competition, so I think I'm an expert talking about this. All right, 713-780 Joyceman.
Didn't I win ours?
We didn't have a long drive competition in our tournament.
Yeah, I thought we did.
I don't think you won it.
Okay.
Do you have a prize?
I'm trying to remember. I thought I did, but
no, I think you're making this up.
Right I'm now. Not.
Like, you hit the ball far, but you didn't win a long drive contest.
Okay.
I've won plenty.
Rest assured, I've won plenty of them. I don't have to blow the horn on it.
He's one-upping me. He's
No, I'm not. You dropped that one without any rebuttal for quite a while.
I think you're one-up. I'm not saying I didn't go out and just like openly brag. I definitely did that, but you're one-upping my open brag by saying you won several.
It didn't start out that way because I wasn't trying to do that. I asked.
How can you say that without?
What?
I thought I had the long drive at our tournament.
No, but then, okay, I see what you're saying. But yeah, but then you immediately got to the I've won several.
When challenged by you, yes, I did.
I didn't challenge you about anything. I challenged that you didn't win it that specific day. I know you hit the ball far. You hit the ball further than me.
Right there.
But definitely
I'm the best there is, plain and simple.
A texter, who is Buddy Hield? We'll tell you all about Buddy Hield a little bit later. But the only elite 3-point shooting game in the series was by Buddy Hield. A texter, hey, Blankers, don't forget to shout out the Broadway girls. What were you up to this weekend?
Coaching all weekend, sir.
Let me read the rest of the tweet. Also cool to see the Trash Pandas progress. No, this is a hilarious text. If we do not know context at all here, let's not give the context for a moment. Mm-hmm. Hey, Blankers, don't forget to shout out the Broadway girls. Also cool to see the Trash Pandas progress over the past months. Great games this weekend, Allison, a.k.a. the other team's mom that was excited to play at Killer Bee. You told me about this before the show.
I did. We played in Alvin, and there were quite a few people that were around the tournament and parents and coaches that were fans of the show and the station, and it was really cool to catch up with a lot of those people. And Allison says she listens every day, and she says she texts quite frequently. And I said, so how do we know it's you? Do you leave your name? She goes, no, I don't do it. And I said, you should do that. Yeah. So I appreciate her doing that.
Yeah, we love characters on the show, Allison. So make sure you continue to put your name. But, yeah, don't forget to shout out the Broadway girls, Blankers.
They changed their name, I think, recently. But they did beat us. So.
My friends from Mexico say Cinco de Mayo is for white people. That's probably fair.
And I'm Mexican.
That's probably true. A lot of people don't know the significance of Cinco de Mayo. For a bunch of gringos to drink a bunch of margaritas. No, it's when they won a key battle. It wasn't actually like they're independent or anything like that. They just won a key battle in an important war. Texture says that Yordan slammed his hand in a car door. Do we know that? And did it happen twice now over the last 5 years? Yordan Alvarez is an enigma. He really is. Like, the dude is mysterious. And he's mysterious with games that he misses. Sleeps in his pillow wrong in Tampa. The fireworks get to him in Atlanta. The second time in the last 5 years he lands on the IL with a hand inflammation that doesn't even require imaging. Like, it's one thing to have chronic hand problems, but they're saying, oh, we don't need imaging. No, we're good. Second time in 5 years he lands on the IL. We don't need an x-ray. No, it's okay.
Yeah, he's had plenty. And like I said, almost every injury with the Astros is like this, but that's one the reason why, you know, we always remind people, and you started the Yordan rules. I mean, the fact is that you have to handle that guy with kid gloves, and even when you do, things are just going to pop up, and they're going to happen, and you just have to accept it and go, yep, that's okay, though, because it's Yordan.
You know, it's true. It is true. Like that, you have to accept it. As much as I love Yordan, he has a glass jaw. Will never be a star if he continues missing all the time. Look, that's fair. You do begin to question his peaks. Like, will his talent? Because I think he has the most talent of any hitter in baseball. I think when you could collect all the attributes of what it takes to be a great offensive player, I think he has the talent of being the best offensive player. His power is great. He combines that with good contact. He combines that with good skill or good play discipline, all of that. But you start to wonder if he's ever going to hit that potential. Like, is he ever going to have a 162-game season? And, of course, no one plays 162 games anymore. But is he ever going to rival an Aaron Judge season? I doubt it.
I I said at some point in his career I thought he'd win an MVP. But in order to do that, you're right. I mean, you got to stay healthy, and you've got to, you know, you've got to and put up the big, big numbers. And that's why, going back to what I said in the first segment, I just feel like he comes across as the guy that doesn't matter enough to him. Like, that he's just, that seems like it, that would be too much work.
He's a little Anthony Rendon-y?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't go that far.
Half Anthony, he's just, a half a
Rendon. Just kind of like he knows the ability he has.
Never go full Rendon.
But yeah, he just doesn't have that, for lack of a better term, that eye of the tiger, that I'm just going to maximize every ounce of talent that I have. He's kind of like, yeah, I'm good. I got a contract, and we're a good team, and when they need me, I'll be there.
Yeah. Tybo reference in 2025. Does no one Tybo anymore? Is that not a thing?
I don't think so.
Do you Tybo?
Did you want me to just say that he was punching the heavy bag? Is that better?
It's more evergreen.
Instead of being just a little funny with it by going, yeah, he was probably doing Tybo in his off time.
Doing a little P90X.
There you go.
A little CrossFit.
I question Alvarez. I need to find a good box. I question Alvarez's off-season routine. He's never ready. It's fair. Luis Arraez is a better hitter than Yordan. Luis Arraez is a better contact hitter than Yordan. Luis Arraez is not in the same stratosphere as an offensive weapon as Yordan Alvarez. You probably think that Tony Gwynn was as good as Babe Ruth, huh?
Should we save that for Thursday?
What? Yeah, it's like
that take.
Jeremy's sitting here talking about.
Well, I think he's talking purely contact.
But, I know, but that's not what it, I mean. I guess we're putting context into it.
A lot of people confuse best hitter for like best average hitter,
yeah.
Which I think is bad context. I think it's a bad way to use that. But oftentimes we see that used as like best
average
hitter.
Like Tony Gwynn being the best
hitter.
Yes,
yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But you're talking about like the five-tool player, so to speak. Like you're talking about
talking purely offense.
All the attributes of his offensive abilities with a bat in his hand.
You can get rid of defense and arm. Like you're talking about like the three offensive traits of a good offensive player. Like he doesn't have like elite speed, obviously.
But I think that's what I'm saying. They're trying to pick it apart by just saying, you know, from a purely like hitting for average type thing. But overall, the power, everything that you go through, like you said, his eye, not of the strike zone, let alone the fact that he can be a 300 hitter and hit you 40 bombs. And the fact that he's clutch, too. He's got the clutch gene, because we talk about the Bagwells and the Biggios and the James Hardens of the world and the people that just kind of curl up in the postseason or never do it. He's done the exact opposite. He steps up even bigger when the lights get brighter. So everything's there for him, and I think it's for the taking. I just don't think he's aggressively pursuing the take.
Yordan career's batting average is .215. Arraez is .305. That's incorrect. Yordan's career average is .295. This year he's batting .210, but then your Arraez stat for this year would be wrong. So I don't know where you're getting your information, Texter, but it's not accurate. I feel like the Astros just make up an injury and they want to sit Yordan out a few games. If there's anybody making it up, I don't think it's the Astros. I don't want to say Yordan's making up injuries. But Yordan is now landed on the IL two different times in 5 years with the mysterious hand that does not require imaging, and Dusty Baker didn't know which hand. He left a game because of fireworks in Atlanta. He left the city of Tampa when he slept on his pillow funny and had to come back to Houston to get looked at for his neck. There is mysterious injuries when it comes to Yordan Alvarez.
Specifically with the hand, though, because you're right on everything else. I think there's a point to what the texter's saying. If the team is just adopting the idea that no imaging is required with something that could be classified as chronic, that does send off alarm bells of maybe a fake injury just to buy him some off time and get his head right.
Why wouldn't they place him on the IL immediately?
I mean, that's a great
question. That's a good question. I don't know.
It doesn't add up. None of this adds up.
I feel like we can say that about every side of the argument,
though. No, absolutely. You can. And that's why people get frustrated. Ocho, the only surprise here is how Kawhi Alvarez's customary injury is happening. He usually goes on a hot streak for a few weeks, cools off for a month, then gets a paper cut injury. S-A-W-F-T, soft. Ocho's been on the Yordan soft train for a long time. I've been there with him. Like these things are weird. They're weird. How many players in baseball over the last 5 years, and I'm not even talking about the double knee surgery, because that's legit. Like, you have double knee surgery, that's legit. Mm-hmm. But how many players over the last 5 years have two different IL stints because of an inflamed hand that doesn't require imaging and the manager doesn't know which hand, that leaves the game because of fireworks smoke?
The fireworks one always takes a cake.
And leaves the city whenever he has a strained neck because he slept on his pillow. And we hear that injury from time to time, but I'm talking about the full body of work. Yordan Alvarez's lineage of injuries over the last 5 years is a unicorn. It is unlike anything we've ever seen.
And multiple times, he's done the whole sit out of city, take Crane's plane, day of game. You did it, was in Chicago last year.
The what was that one? Oh yeah, he flew. That's right. What was that injury?
Wasn't that like the flu?
He like didn't go to Chicago, and then he flew up for the series finale, hit a home run, and flew back with the team.
Yeah. He flew up on Crane's plane day of, because I think he was sick all weekend, and they were like, "Well, we don't know how serious it is." Fly him up day of game, hits a bomb, flies back with the team, and everybody's supposed to go, "Yeah, nothing to see here. We're all good."
So is he soft, or is he got a bad body,
or is it? The whole, well, maybe, or is it maybe this the attitude?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think he has a bad body, and I think he's a little bit soft. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's talk about the Rockets now. We've punted for 35 minutes. Houston Rockets lose game 7. Main takeaways from that defeat. 713-780-ESPN. HRNP listener line. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN at 92.5. You know, I'm always talking about the stress and anxiety of the week and, you know, for good reason to look for an excuse to go out on vacation. Doesn't take a whole lot to do today, huh? Pretty easy. I'm going to get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort and lose my thought in all of this day-to-day stuff. I'm actually going up there at the end of the month, looking forward to visiting Two Creeks Crossing Resort. The best weekend idea for you, best midweek idea for you. Just get away for a couple of days. Go enjoy all there is to enjoy at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston, like the open green spaces, like the wildlife you just don't see in the city. If you like beautiful, mature trees, they got that for you. If you're a fisherman or fisherwoman, drop your line in the water. They have some of the best fishing in Texas. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book that stay at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com right now. One of the great perks of Two Creeks Crossing Resort, and they have a long list of it, is it's only 90 minutes from Houston. You can get out of town without traveling too far. Don't waste your day in the car. Don't head to the airports. That's always stressful. It's more burdensome than it's worth. You can get to Two Creeks Crossing Resort in an hour and a half. Hike the 92-acre property this afternoon. Kayak, pickleball, or just hang out by the pool with a drink. That's good, too. Two Creeks Crossing Resort's always looking for new ideas to take care of their visitors. They'll throw a barbecue cook-off one weekend, crawfish boil the next. Whatever's on their mind, they're going to do it. They're going to take care of you. Glamping, cabins, tree houses, or pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for anybody. I've been saying it's a great weekend place. It's a great during the week, too. You can save 20% right now on your next two-night stay, Sunday through Thursday. So you have a couple days you want to take off, or maybe you don't work the customary Monday through Friday. Sunday through Thursday stay, 20% off on rentals, RV sites, yurts, cabins, and tents. So book that now, TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
You ever heard this song? I don't know.
You don't like the fame?
I want to be sad today.
Yeah, it's about rain.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... This doesn't strike me as sad music, though.
It doesn't?
Oh, I think it does.
This strikes me as like walk off a building music. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Before you walk off a building, you're probably sad.
Oh, I think like my sad music, though, I'm listening to like sad country and western. Maybe a little grunge music. Maybe a little Avril Lavigne.
So you're not describing sad, you're describing emo.
No, I said country.
Okay, you did describe. Well, country can be kind of, it's emo with twang at times.
Like, I want to, like, you know, beer in my tears, or tears in my
beer. That's not emo?
I know. That's why I didn't say I want emo. Yeah. This is a little upbeat.
I would disagree with
that. I want to do a little rock, like, nice Roxbury type.
No, this is not that song at all.
I mean, this is on a melancholy list, like a range of melancholy.
This is very
from 1
melancholy.
To 10. No, this isn't close this to a 10 on melancholy.
8.5.
Nah. This ain't an 8.5 on the melancholy range.
Joel?
This is like a 6 at best.
I think it's a 7.5, 8.
I want some like honky tonk 10 melancholy.
See, I think the most like soul crushing music is slower than this and not country.
Okay. Like, I feel like they play this in some weird nightclubs.
No, the pace isn't fast enough for a nightclub.
This is more like a romantic movie. Talk to me like lovers do.
During the part where they split, sure.
I mean, I don't know. Challenge for the week. Who's got the most interactive talk show, the Killer Bees or the Killer Gs? I mean, Paul could have that. I don't care who's the most interactive.
We don't brag about it. We're all about it.
We'll be again,
trying to
talk
do film
is,
study
talk
like you're Jeremy
cheap.
Branham.
No,
trying to make everybody
like,
think that you know ball.
We'll be interactive. I don't know who's the most interactive, and I don't really care to have the title. Good Rain Song, Songs About Rain by Gary Allen. So mark that one down. Gary Allen sounds like a little country western. I played golf with Gary Allen once upon a time. We weren't in the same group, but I hit my ball into his group. Always thought Jordan was overrated. See, I don't think Jordan's overrated. I just don't know if he's materialized and reached his potential, and I question if he ever is going to.
Or wants to.
I guess you could say that's overrated, Branham. Or wants to, maybe. Night at the Roxbury. Yeah, that's yeah. See, the texture
agrees
with
me. Well, Nilly Vanilli had Blame It on the Rain. That was the clubby version of a rain song.
Jordan is the Neymar of baseball. I don't know enough about Neymar's game.
Either.
Was he always hurt, Neymar?
I don't know. We'd have to ask Glenn. I don't know.
I'm putting two and two together because Neymar obviously was like an uber talent. Many people thought he was going to be the greatest footballer of the world. What is that trophy they give to the best footballer of the world every year? It's like the Trophy d'Or or something like that.
No, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what it's named.
Bell d'Or?
That might be it. I think that's it. Or it might be the ball.
Probably,
it's something like that. Y'all know what we mean. And all you soccer heads are, y'all don't know soccer.
And the World Cup
don't.
Thing is the boot or something?
I think the Rangers and the Astros play for the boot. No, that's the golden boot.
Well, the golden,
it's
saying,
not
the
MVP.
The
it's for the goal. It's for the goal leader the World Cup, right. Which, I mean, same thing, I guess. Keep stalling, guys. That game hurt last night. We're doing our best. I feel like we've done pretty good. I feel like we've done pretty good to stall about the Rockets. Should we stall one more second?
I mean, it's 3:43. We're already due for a break.
can we go even a little bit longer and just like dive right into the gimmick here?
We spent most of this segment talking about what is or is not an emo song, so I think we successfully stalled.
Raindrops falling on my head.
that feels a little more happy.
That's like more upbeat. It's like
just
happy
like
Eddie, to be playing
like
in the
Eddie
rain.
I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. It's a country song, but it's got a little kick to it.
Do you have a playlist you go to whenever you're feeling a little down? When you're feeling
at
a little
times.
Sad?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
You're not in touch with your emotions.
I am. Probably more so now, but don't have a playlist.
I don't have a specific playlist. I just throw it. I'll put on some old school country. Is what I'll do. I'll put that. And anything that's like upbeat, I'll just skip it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a specific playlist, but I do have a game plan, I guess is the best way to put it. A Good Rain Song, Stand by Eminem. That's a pretty good song.
It's a good song.
It's not, I don't know if I call it a rain song, but a good song.
Yeah, I don't know about a rain song. It's a good song.
I mean, there's definitely rain when he's talking.
The video.
There is in the video, yeah.
I think you can even hear it on the song, couldn't you?
I think there are some times in the song
right,
you do.
Yeah,
I mean, I have a very vivid memory of the video where he's sitting there pinning his letter and there's rain coming down.
Yeah.
Golden Boot, Raindrops. You just somebody already texted that. 25 Rockets or the 15 Astros, good things ahead.
Let's hope so.
That's not a bad comp. Now, they've missed the playoffs next year. Rockets would.
Yeah, that was a comp I've talked about before. The only problem was that I don't see them missing the playoffs. That's, to me, where the comp falls short next year. Like, I can't see them missing the playoffs next year.
I mean, the West is tough, though.
Yeah, unless they make a drastic move and that shakes things up. Or, I mean, obviously, there's always the injury case.
Well, if other teams make a drastic move, like if San Antonio gets Giannis and they already got Wemby and, you know, other pieces.
De'Aaron Fox.
And De'Aaron Fox, I mean, and a couple other, Castle and other guys. I mean, San Antonio didn't make the playoffs. They could be in.
Wouldn't they have to trade Castle, you think, for Giannis? Would he have to be included in that trade?
He might, but they're saying that the Spurs have two lottery picks.
Oh, do they?
In this draft. And so Monday night, we're going to learn a whole hell of a lot because Monday night's the lottery.
Yeah. I'm not sure we can talk about the Astros or the Rockets. Maybe our attention should be put forward to the Rough Mix. They're on a roll. Who are the Rough Mix? Is that
that's
got to
be a typo for
the Rough Mix. Win again?
I guess. I'm not sure. Rain Song, Led Zeppelin, Missy, I Can't Stand the Rain.
Ooh, good song there.
Balloon d'Or. I don't know how to pronounce that, though. But it's the Balloon d'Or. They give it the best footballer in the world.
I think I said that but mispronounced it. Probably.
You said Bell.
I thought I said, you're right. I think
but
I said
in
Bell
his mind,
d'Or.
Jeremy.
You said Bell. I said
so
Ball.
Right. So I did mispronounce it, yeah.
You mispronounced Balloon? What?
Are we sure it's actually like balloon?
I think it's Balloon d'Or.
Yeah. Glenn will be here at 6. Soccer matters. he'll set a straight.
Glenn will be like, whoa, what are all these questions for me tonight?
All right. We've done enough. Rainy night in Georgia, says another texter. Okay. Let's talk Rockets. We'll do what you want us to do. I think. Rockets fall to the Warriors yesterday. What does this mean going forward? All of that good stuff. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Sounds cool.
Gary Allen, Songs About Rain.
I like how
nominated during the last segment.
He's got good range there.
Hit that note again.
He's pretty deep. Actually, probably, we wouldn't even say it. Deep's not the right word. What would it be called? High, maybe? High pitch?
I wouldn't classify him as a high pitch.
He hit that note earlier. Like, I think it's about to be coming up again. 713-780-ESPN. I don't know anything about music. I got suspended in choir when I was in middle school. That's a true story.
For what?
I don't want to say. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HR and Pete listener line. I did hit that note. Pete, have some thoughts. Here's what we're going to do. You get your grievances out to us. What did you like about this series? What didn't you like about this series? What do you want to gripe about? What do you want to grieve? Whatever you want to do to get off your chest, let the Killer Bees be that shoulder for you. And it's a safe space, right? Safe space? We're not going to mock you and ridicule you and call you stupid.
I don't think that. I mean, if it's a really stupid take, I think we can do quite a bit of that.
There's such thing as stupid take. There's only stupid people.
Okay, so if it's a stupid person.
Just keep asking good questions and don't ask dumb questions.
There you go.
But we're not going to force feed sunshine and rainbows on you like other stations might.
I don't think anybody's doing that today with the Rockets, though, right?
I don't know.
That'd be interesting. I wouldn't know. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. First gripe, grievance, whatever. Pete, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up, Pete?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Pete?
Well, I'm not going to gripe about last night's game. As a matter of fact, I'm going to praise the Rockets for having a great season. I mean, a lot of the experts didn't even think they'd be any better than a play-in team. So for them to get the second seed and to vastly improve from the previous year, that's all I could ask for. And, you know, they should be very proud, too, for the fact that they came down from a 3-1 deficit. Ultimately, the Warriors just played a better game. They had a better defensive plan, and our guys just weren't making the shots. So, you know, but the future looks bright. I look forward to seeing what happens with the draft lottery and the growth of the team. You know, they're going to be better days ahead. So I'm feeling good about the Rockets' prospects down the road. As far as Golden State, hey, congratulations. And hats off to you, Steph, Jamie Foxx, and was it Buddy Hield or Bucky the Beaver? Whatever. Hey, y'all have a good evening.
Rack 'em,
Pete.
Rack 'em. I don't know if you got a tongue, though.
Pete gets us off the schneid, starts it with some positivity, finishes in a flurry.
I don't want to do the tongue thing. We're going to have to come up with our very own, but we're going to workshop that. We're not going to do it today. There's too much stuff to do today. That's like a Friday show, but we'll workshop that. Rack 'em, close, but not quite. But good call.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I think he covered the gambit a little bit, but I mean, from a very red Kool-Aid drinking perspective, we both said it before the series. I said no matter what happens in the playoffs, the season's been an overwhelming success. I didn't think they would get the 2 seed in the West. I didn't think they'd win the division. I mean, and we talked about the fact, and I reiterated a couple times, you can't win 22 more games than you did the year before every season. So, essentially, the first year was a hell of a success because you won 22 more. This year, you were the second seed, won the division. I just think that the turnaround has been quick. The progress is continuous, and now you've got work to do this offseason to try and do it again and try and get a little bit deeper into the playoffs to do a little more.
Yeah, he said something that irked me a little bit, and I've been kind of like a dam a little bit where I'm like withholding. Now, what Pete said about like a really good step forward, 100%. Like if you're talking about this season as a whole, good season. They took a tremendous step forward. They have cemented themselves as what we would call a playoff team for the foreseeable future. Like, we're going to go into every season saying that, you know, they're going to be a top four team in the West. But they might not live up to it every single season, But that's going to be the benchmark that they've set themselves with this year, which is great. I mean, 50-win season, top four team in the West. Love their future. And I agree with that. Like, I do love their future. I am optimistic about their future. But the one thing, and it's not Pete's fault, the one thing that irked me, even going into last night, not even like, and yes, the outcome like cemented this thought. I got way, I don't know how the best way to say this. I feel people got way too comfortable bringing the series back home tied 3-3. The sense I got, it's not even like the players or the team, but the overall sense I got from the city was that getting it back to Houston tied 3-3 was a win almost. Like when they won game 5 at home, okay, everybody sees that, 3-2. Now bring it back to Houston. And then once they won game 6 in Golden State, it felt like everybody had relief. Like everybody
relaxed a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not going to even say the players, though. Mm-hmm. Just like the thought of the series and the thought of the fans was like, yeah, we got. And then they see the line. Oh, they're favorites. And they're the most talented team. They're going to go into game 7 and roll. Like the confidence that was there. It almost felt like bringing it back to a game 7 was a win in itself.
Well,
shouldn't be that case. Like, obviously, the goal of a series is to win the series, and I got way too much feeling across the board that bringing it to a Game 7 in Houston was the victory in its own right.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the standpoint of if you needed some other further validation to say that the season was a success, we talked about it before the series started.
Well, I think those are two different conversations.
But I know, I understand, but I'm just rebuttaling. The fact that when you look at it and say, okay, short of being swept, it was a successful season. But I feel you. There were a ton of people that I talked to leading up to Sunday night that really felt like once we get it back home, it's ours. And I'm going to be honest with you. Once I saw the way the game went down in game 6, where I thought the Warriors were going to put all their chips on the table, I came away from that game going, as much as I thought experience would beat youth, the more talented team is clearly the Houston Rockets. They figured some things out. They really took it to the Warriors on their home floor, and I thought that they had a clear-cut advantage coming home, that they were going to take it home. And you know me, I'm normally, you know, hard to actually get over on that side and be convinced. I was leaning more and more like this was a game that I thought that they could, if they played their same kind of game, that they could absolutely win this thing.
And that was the sentiment that kind of annoyed me, was that people got comfortable. They got comfortable ahead of game 7. And it was like, it's the discomfort of like, and like, this isn't even tangible because it wasn't even like within the team, but it was the discomfort that got you there. Like, why get comfortable now going into a game 7? Like, it felt to me like people thought the job was done once it was brought back to Houston. And the job ain't done in a series until you win the series. So like, whenever he's like, well, they did a great job getting it back to a game 7. No, One, you should have never been in that position. Secondly, you don't quit because of the game 7. You brought it to a game 7. I think the series was lost in game 3. That to me is, and even game 4 a bit, because I felt game 4 was very winnable as well. But Jimmy Butler didn't play in game 3. Before that game, you have to take advantage of Jimmy Butler missing this game. Rockets offense no-showed. Jalen Green no-showed. And they lost what should have been a winnable game, and they lost in game 3. So, like, I thought the Warriors were clearly the better team yesterday. Over the course of a series, I thought the Rockets were the better team. I thought the Rockets lost this series in game 3.
I just feel like what also goes kind of forgotten is when, you know, I kept talking about the fact the players are a different animal, and it's totally different. And then Jalen actually came out and expressed his true feelings about why he tightened up. But then game 7 is a different animal than that, because game 7, whether they realized it going into the game or not, that bad boy right there is a pressure cooker. And your nerves are going to be there, and they are going to be probably stronger than they've been for just about anything in your life. And you really get a chance to see who these players are and what they're made of. And unless you've been through that fire before, strange things happen. And I also think that the team that made better adjustments were the Warriors, because Steve Kerr was constantly tinkering. He was adjusting. He went to the zone again yesterday because they don't have shooters that can shoot their way out of it. From the Rockets' perspective, I thought the fact that, you know, he tried Kuminga, but he was, you know, he sat post. He was trying to find different combinations, different answers, but they were constantly tinkering to try and see what the Rockets were going to do and how they were going to react. I just didn't feel like the Rockets reacted to a whole lot of stuff very well.
713-780-ESPN. I think we have to categorize what, like, the outcomes of yesterday's game. Like, you can look at it from a season perspective. We can look at it from, like, going forward perspective, all of that. Let's talk specifically about the game yesterday, them losing Game 7. Let's look at that before we break down everything else. We'll break it all down. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. Whilst we get to you on the other side, the Hive has some thoughts on the text line as well. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.